Is that your prayer this morning? Just a closer walk with Thee. Let it be, Lord, let it be. I pray that that is your prayer this morning. Lord, I want to walk closer with You. I want to know You better. No matter how spiritually advanced we are, we can all grow to know the Lord better. And it's just like with people. The more time you spend with them, the more time you know about them. The more you know them, the more they know you. Of course, the Lord knows us inside and out, totally, completely. But the more time we spend with Him, the better we know Him. Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning here at Barbie's Grove. And anybody that's out in the parking lot, we welcome you as we welcome those here in the sanctuary. And anybody listening later on the website, we're so glad for each of you to come and join with us as we celebrate Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He only is worthy of our worship and our praise. Everything else is minor, secondary to Jesus. And I pray that you know Him and that you're growing in fellowship with Him. Let me pray. Father, as we bow before You this morning, we're just so grateful for Your love for us, for the many wonderful ways You show that love. I thank You for the people that are listening, both here in the service, in the parking lot, on the website. And Father, I thank You that the same Holy Spirit that brought forth Jesus from the dead is now operating in this business, this service, in the hearts of each person that's listening. And Father, may we hear with those spiritual ears what You are saying. Book of Revelation, You say, let the churches hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Lord, may we hear what You are saying. Not what I'm saying, what You are saying. And Father, You know the needs of every person that's here, whether they're a spiritual need, a financial need, an emotional need, a family need, physical need. Lord, I know that You care about every need. Lord, You watch a little sparrow fall and it is all a part of Your knowledge. So You know our needs. And I pray, Father, that You'll grant those needs. For Father, I know that You want to. Reminded, Lord, of what Jesus said, if a child asks for a fish, You're not going to give a snake. If they ask for an egg, You're not going to give a stone. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask? So, Father, You're not giving bad gifts to us. You're giving good gifts to us. And so, Father, we just receive those good gifts and we thank You for them. Lord, we love You. We worship You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Appreciate that very, very much. And we welcome all of you this morning to Barbie's Grove. And it's here for our worship time. As we do every Sunday morning, we start off our worship with a hymn sing. And I still believe in the old hymns of the church. I also believe in the other kind of music, too. I think there's room for all of it. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish here. This is page 450. It'll be on the board. I need thee every hour. We're going to sing all five verses. They're short, but they tell the story. Everyone, please stand. I need thee every hour.
Tender voice like thine.
Someone said amen. Amen. Welcome someone this morning, if you would, please. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Every hour I need thee. Not a moment that I don't. Thank God. All right, I have a few announcements for you today. If you just follow the bulletin along this morning, you'll see that we will have our third Sunday conference today, and this will be a normal quarterly conference that we have, and we will also be considering the nominating committee today as well. Deacon election will begin on August the 14th, but we will begin the process even today because we have a list down front of the eligible men that are qualified or that will be on the list for a deacon election. Now, I would also tell you men that as you pick up this list, if there's some reason you prefer not to serve, you need to let Jeff know or someone know by the 31st of July. Right, Jeff? 31st of July. So please do that. That way we can have a good, clear number to vote on when we start the election process, okay? Sunday, August the 21st, homecoming, very important time here at our church. Now, we talked about this in our meeting the other night, and we are going to go ahead and have the full meal and everything. So I want you to know it'll be homecoming. You ladies or men, prepare a meal, bring the meal, and we'll have a homecoming meal as our tradition has been through many, many years. COVID stopped that, but we're going to go ahead and have a full meal for our homecoming. So be prepared for that. We have an area-wide revivals, September the 5th through the 9th and 12th through the 16th at the Stanley County Fairgrounds, Highway 52 South, Reverend Ralph Sexton. This will be sponsored by the churches of Stanley and Montgomery counties. I don't have any more announcements. Anyone have anything you want to bring up? Okay. We will go to our prayer list and our prayer request this morning. I had a few that this morning that we want to bring to you. Tony and Ruth Eford. Tony is much better from COVID. Matter of fact, he was out and about, Ruth told me yesterday. But Ruth is still sick. She has a COVID as well. But she's doing better, right, Miss Rosina? So that's encouragement there. I got to share this story. And I'm going to embarrass somebody when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And she'll get me later, and I'll pay for it. But I talked to Miss Ruth day before yesterday, I believe it was. And she said, I asked her, I said, at the end of our conversation, I said, is there anything we can do for you? You know, which is we always will say. And she says, no, that my angel has already been by and got my groceries for me. And that would be Janice Coley. Janice, I know you don't want that recognition, but God bless you. Amen. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, that's what it takes. We're talking about unity this morning in Sunday school. That's what it's all about. Yep. Just loving each other and caring. And that's so beautiful, and I want to thank you for that. Jeff Brother, and we want to continue to remember Jeff. Jeff Brother and Mother. Jeff talked about this morning that his mother was experiencing more dementia problems, and let's remember her. Kenny is also mother. Kenny brought some praise reports to us this morning, and that his mother is doing much better and some better with the dementia issues, but she still requires care around the clock. And so Kenny will keep praying. We'll keep praying for her. Are there others this morning that we need to put on our prayer list to lift up? Janice, it's so good to see you and Mr. Bobby back today. Yes, that's right. I'm sorry. You gave me that on another list. Yes. And we did do it, Jacob. Also, your sister as well, right, Janice?
Well, she's been home yesterday in Florida. She
gets
much better.
For those of you that I need to go ahead and talk about Jacob just a little bit further. Jacob is in the hospital with pneumonia. And how's he doing this morning? Those of you that don't know, and I think you all do, Jacob is Janice and Bobby's son. And so we need to, okay, let's lift him up for sure. And also your sister, we'll lift her up as well. Anyone else? Yes, Robert.
My twin sister, Susan Lee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Just, all right.
And also, Susan Henson, she is going through some back surgery, and she has no use of her legs, and we're hoping with this back surgery that she'll
all right. be able to start walking. Okay, Susan Henson, okay. And Susan Lee, okay. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah.
She had a heart attack last week. She's doing better. She's not in the hospital. She's only 52.
Well, you know, that has no respecter anymore, I'm telling you that. Heart attacks can happen. I've heard them happen very young. Susan Barbie, heart attack. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, as we try to always do, we want to thank you. Lord, before I ask you for anything, Lord, this morning, oh, how we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here today, those who were able to be here and be with us today at this time of worship. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the time when our hearts are felt. And our hearts want to worship you, Lord. And we lift you up this morning. And we say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for a time that we can be together. We can thank you for a time of unity. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. But Lord, there are some today, Lord, that we want to lift up to you special. And Lord, we want to pray, continue to lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for Tony and Ruth as they're dealing with COVID, Lord. We pray for them. Jeff's brother and his mother, Lord, we pray for him. I think his brother was doing some better, Lord, but we pray, Lord, for Jeff's mother who is dealing with dementia. Thank you for Kenny's mother and the praise report that he gave us this morning, but we know, Lord, that prayer is still needed for her, and we continue to pray for her. Lord, we pray for Jacob Williams this morning, Lord. We lift him up to you, Lord, as he has experienced pneumonia, and he is in the hospital, Lord, but we know, Lord, that you can touch his body, and we pray for healing for Jacob. We pray for Janice's sister. Continue to pray for her to keep her strong. And then, Lord, for Susan Lee, that as an unspoken request this morning. But, Lord, you know what her needs are, and we pray, Lord, that you would minister to her. And we pray, Lord, for Susan Henser in the surgery that she's experienced in the convalescent time. And then for Tanya Barbie, Lord, we pray for her. We lift her up from the heart attack issues, Lord, and we pray for healing. We pray for convalescing time for her. And now, Lord, as we go further in this service today, we want to remember those who will be taken apart. We pray for Rita, who will be coming now, Lord, and lead us in our praise music today. We thank you for her and her willingness to support. And then for Pastor Ed, who comes before us today, with a message from you, we thank you for him. We thank you for the blessings he gives us each and every Sunday. And in order to also be with us in our conference today, in our business meeting, we pray. Now, Lord, the many blessings we've asked this morning, we want to say thank you, Lord. As we go forward in today, Lord, we do thank you for all your blessings. And we make this prayer, Lord, in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, Miss Rita is going to come for us tonight and share with us in our praise music. We try to ask each one of our praise team members to come and do this, and Rita has always been so kind to do this. So, Miss Rita, if you will come.
Wonder what he would do if we said no.
I don't know.
No, the song that I chose for today is called Here I Am to Worship. We've done it before. It'll be familiar to you. And that's why we're here today, is to worship. And y'all just listen to the words of the song as we sing them. You know, I don't like when we sing songs and we're just singing and not, you know, processing what the words are, what they really, you know, what they're really trying to say to us. And, you know, let's try to be mindful of that and try to get them into our hearts and, you know, worship as we do this song. Just stand with me, please.
Thank you, Miss Rita. And I think y'all did the best you've done on a worship song. You know, I could hear more people singing than we have been. So we're slowly getting it down. We're slowly getting it down. Thought about something else during that first song. This is all free. You know how somebody comes up and puts their hand on your shoulder? You remember there in that, it's the second verse of the third one. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. You know, I think if I was just aware of Jesus' hand up on my shoulder, I'd speak a lot nicer to my wife. I'd be a lot kinder to other people. If we'd just be aware of how close He is to us, the indwelling Holy Spirit, temptation would lose its power because His presence makes all the difference. Okay, this morning, maybe I can just whet your appetite for some Bible study. I could make this sermon multiple sermons, a whole series, but for the time being, we'll just do it all in one. And I'll quote some scriptures, and we'll turn to some others, a lot of them. So you may want to jot some of these down and then go back and study these things for yourself to see if I'm telling you the truth. See if you can back it up with the Bible to what I'm going to say. Now, common sense tells us that no building is going to stand very long if it doesn't have a solid foundation. If you cheat on the foundation, sooner or later the building's going to sink or collapse. But equally as sad is when you see a foundation that was started and never built upon. And you go by and year after year, the weeds and the grass and the briars and eventually some little trees start coming up. And you think, I wonder what happened. Looks like a nice foundation. What happened that they didn't finish the building? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, to start with. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read the first three verses and use those as a starting point for everything else we want to say this morning. Hebrews 6, the first three verses. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Now notice two things there in those verses. One, it says, we need to have a solid foundation for our spiritual walk with God. And he talks about the six foundation stones for that walk with God. He said, these are the basics. These are the things that we need to have a solid all around the building foundation. These are the things that we, in a sense, must have. And as we look at these, ask yourself, how strong are these foundation stones in my life? Are all of them equally strong? And the second thing he tells us here is that once the foundation is settled, we need to build on it. He says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Let us go on to spiritual maturity. It's so interesting that both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul says in their letters, I'd love to feed you some meat, But you folks are still on the bottle. And God never intends for us to be spiritual babies when we die at age 98. God intends for us to lay a solid foundation, and over the years of our walk with God, our walk with Christ, to build on that foundation, to go on to spiritual maturity. Now, the King James says perfection. That doesn't mean you're going to get to the place where you don't sin, but spiritual maturity. More and more like Jesus. Less and less sin. More and more holiness. More power in using those spiritual gifts that Kenny was talking about this morning in Sunday school. More awareness of the spiritual gifts. More usableness. More faithfulness. More and more like Jesus. So this morning, let's look at those six foundation stones and just ask ourselves the question, how strong are these in my life? These are the bare minimum. How much do you know about each one? And you see, each of us has to answer these for ourselves. It's not a, well, one size fits all. We're all different. And as a church, are these the foundation stones that we preach, that we teach, that we exhibit, that we live? Now, the first one, he says, is repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin is dead works. He said we need to repent of sin. Repent means to turn away from, to turn our back on. Dead works is sin. But you know, also trying to earn our salvation is dead works. Over in the book of Hebrews, not in Hebrews, in Ephesians, chapter 2, it says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we'll come back in a minute and look at verse 8. But he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, you cannot earn salvation by your good works. We cannot earn salvation by your good works. Now, I realize I'm stepping on a few toes here, but there are denominations that say, you're a member of our church, you're going to heaven. It's a lie. You let us baptize you, and you're going to heaven. It's a lie. You can't do enough good works. It's not like one of those old-fashioned scales, you know, and you put some weight over here and you put whatever you're selling over here and you get it balanced out. It's not like we say, okay, I've been doing some sinning over here. Maybe I better give some more money to the church, or I may, maybe I need to go to church a few times so I can balance this thing out. And when I get done, if the good's outweighed the bad, God's going to make me go to heaven. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You can't do a good enough good work. It comes to the point, he says, we need to repent of even the idea that I can pay for my own salvation. There is no way. And you remember in the seventh chapter, we won't look there, but in the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount, he says something like this, that at the last day, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils and we preached and we taught in your name. And he says, I don't know you. Go away. It won't do me a bit of good to stand before the Father in the judgment and say, but I preach 5,000 sermons. So what? So what? We repent of dead works. That doesn't mean we don't do good works after we're saved. We do good works after we're saved. And hopefully I preach out of the salvation. But he says we repent of the very idea that we can save ourselves. I had an elderly relative one time that told me, said, Ed, don't you think if I just keep the Ten Commandments, I'll make it to heaven? Well, first place, you can't keep the Ten Commandments without being a believer. I mean, after all, what does the first couple of commandments say? There's one God, and He's first. And you'll have no other gods but Him. And you'll not make yourself any idols. And so to keep the Ten Commandments in the New Testament sense is to, Jesus is my Lord, He's my Savior, and it's the only way. Now this person didn't understand. They thought as long as they didn't kill, steal, murder, and commit adultery, that's going to heaven. No. He says we need to repent of dead works. But then he goes on to say, faith toward God. Faith toward God. Now here's where Ephesians 2:8 comes. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Back over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith toward God. Second stone. First, we turn our back on the fact I can't save myself. But God can through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we make our confession of faith in Him. What's the old song say? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. That songwriter got it right. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, he says, if you're going to build your life on a solid foundation, it's going to start with saying, I'm hopeless, helpless, and without a clue, but Jesus is my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I confess him with my mouth as my Lord and my Savior. And by faith, I receive him as my Lord and Savior. He says, that's the bottom line. That was the bottom line for the thief on the cross. And he didn't even get all of it because he didn't know Jesus was going to be resurrected. Jesus did promise him, you'll be with me today in paradise. But you see, that guy on the cross, was he baptized? Was he a church member? Did he preach any sermons? Teach any Sunday school lessons? Give any money to the offering? All he had was faith in Jesus. All he had was faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He says the bottom line We can't save ourselves. We put faith in Jesus. Now, the third thing there, he says, is the doctrine of baptism. Not whether I do that or whatever, but anyway. Doctrine of baptism. Notice that that's plural. That's plural, the doctrine of baptisms. Now, we, as Baptists, we're big on what? Water baptism. And it's an essential part. It doesn't save us, but it's a way of saying, I've accepted Jesus. It's a way of following his example. You remember Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? You remember on the day of Pentecost when they said, men and brethren, what should we do after Peter preached? Repent and be baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch rides along, and suddenly Philip joins him. Deacon Philip joins him and explains to him about Jesus from the Gospel of Isaiah. And I don't know how he got into the baptism thing from Isaiah, but he did, because they came to a body of water and this Ethiopian said, hey, there's some water. Can I be baptized? If you believe, you can. And Philip baptized him right there in the, and I don't know whether it was the Mediterranean Sea or whether it was some lake or pool or little river, but whatever it was, he baptized him. Water baptism. But in a verse that was in the Sunday school lesson today, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were made a part of the body of Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became a part of the body of Christ. And that makes us your brothers and your sisters. Not just those here at Barber's Grove, but all around the world. They're your brothers and your sisters. We're a part of the same body. We don't all think alike. We don't all have the same spiritual gifts. We don't all look alike. Praise the Lord. We're all part of the body of Christ. Now turn over to the book of Acts chapter 2. And this is one that gets a little controversial. Acts chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus talking, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then in chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The charismatics usually talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptists usually talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The thing is, what kind of a relationship do you have with the Spirit of God? And I don't know how best to explain it, but there is a deeper level than many people experience. There's a deeper level. Now, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within you.
Romans says if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus.
But there's a place of commitment and fulfillment and walking with God that's a deeper experience. And I was thinking maybe whether this will enlighten anybody or not, but I was thinking about it. You know, on a hot summer day when I'm out mowing and perspiration's pouring off my face, sometimes I'll come in and I'll wet a bath cloth and I'm wiping my face with cold water and over my head and everything else. And you know, sometimes you see those football players, they come off the field and you can see the steam coming off of their heads. And they'll take a bucket of water and just dump it over their heads. That's good. But you know, if you go jump in the lake, you get a whole much more water all around you. Makes a whole lot of difference. There's a jumping in the lake with the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a filling of the Holy Spirit that's tangible, knowledgeable, viewable. Many, many years ago, North Carolina Baptist used to have something they called the Evangelism Conference, and it was always in late January, early February. And there was a lady named Joanne Shelton. She taught music at Southwestern Seminary, I think. Fantastic voice. And almost every other year, they had her come in and sing. And she could just bring you to tears. But then one year, she came and it was different. And Charles Stanley asked her, said, "Joanne, what's the difference?" The Spirit of God upon her life. She was saved. She was a gifted musician. But there was an anointing that came when she was filled with the Spirit of God that was never there before. And he talks about baptisms. Then he talks about laying on of hands. Well, you know what we think about laying on of hands. A couple of weeks, if we elect somebody that's never been a deacon before, we'll have a deacon ordination ceremony. And at the end of the service, the person that's never been ordained that's going to be a deacon will kneel here at the front, and the pastor and any other pastors and other deacons will come by and lay hands on them and pray for them. And so, that ordination, setting apart for service. But you know, the Bible talks about several other types of laying on of hands. I wrote about this one a couple of weeks ago in the newsletter when I was talking about Bible school. It says, some parents brought little children to Jesus. And the disciple says, "Get those rugrats out of here." And Jesus said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And then it says he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Can you imagine 50 years later some of those kids thinking, "Jesus laid his hands on me and blessed me. Laid his hands on me and blessed me." And we can impart blessing to others with laying on of our hands. And then there's, we won't look there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul talks about to Timothy, he says, "Stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul, in some way, imparted a spiritual gift to Timothy through laying on of hands. And that can also be done. And then there's a fourth way, and we'll look there because it's, again, it's controversial. Mark 16. Mark 16. And this is Jesus' farewell address to the disciples before he ascends into heaven. Beginning at verse 15 of Mark 16. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He talks about laying hands on the sick. People that need to be healed and them being healed. Now, some people would say, now, wait, whoa, 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 preacher. That's for the apostles. Well, this is one of those places where the Bible ought to trump tradition. What does verse 6:17 say? These signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say these signs shall follow the apostles. These signs shall follow the preachers. It says them that believe. Are you a believer? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that gives you the authority to lay hands on sick folks and ask the Lord to heal them. Now, in my Bible, that's in big red letters. Check it out. Read it for yourself. I didn't make it up. He talks about the power verse 19 tells us after the Lord spoke, they went to heaven. And then verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them. Notice, it wasn't their power, it was God working with them. All right, two other signs, two other foundation stones. Resurrection of the dead. We won't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, along about 13, verse 13 through 20 or so, Paul gets into a whole long thing. So if some of them were saying, Jesus didn't really rise. And Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise, we won't rise. But Jesus said, Jesus is risen and we will rise. There are folks back then and now that say, when you die, and that's the end of it. I heard a Baptist preacher in a funeral say, people talk about the resurrection dead, but I'll never preach it. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me, man. And of course, you know, there's some folks prominent in Hollywood that believe when you die, you're going to come back as something else. You know, that pesky fly may be your great-great-granddaddy. Are you kidding me? The Bible says it is appointed unto man how many times to die? Once. And after that, the judgment. After that, the judgment. And those who believe are resurrected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verses that we use so often in funerals. The trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The resurrection of the dead, we believe that. Don't let anybody steal that from you. And then he talks about eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. And again, there are folks that don't believe that. But the Bible says, what do I just quote? Appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In the book of Revelation, near the end of the book, he talks about the great white throne judgment, where men and women and boys and girls stand before God, and the books are open. If their name's not in the book, they're forever lost. And 2 Corinthians, we read about the judgment seat of Christ, where we all stand before Christ to give an account of the works that we've done. There is coming a final test. There's coming a final judgment. If we're a believer, we'll go through the judgment seat of Christ to see how our works were. But if not, we'll be at the great white, if we're not a believer, we'll be at the great white throne judgment. And because our name's not in the book, we'll be lost. He says, these are the six foundations. We can't save ourselves. We've got to have faith in Jesus. There's baptism. There's laying on of hands. There's resurrection. There's judgment. How strong is the foundation of your life? And see, we just hit the high spots. You can get your New Testament out and read all so many other scriptures than the ones I read and the ones we quoted. Lay a solid foundation. But don't stop there. Build on it. Don't let the grass and the weeds and the briars and the bushes take over your faith. Go on to perfection and to spiritual maturity. So that when you come to the end of life, you'll be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you would, just come right now and receive Him. The rest of us need to ask ourselves, how strong are these foundations? Maybe you reject some of these foundations. What are you building on those foundations? As we said in the newsletter this week, are you building something that's going to last? Father God, we thank you for letting us know what's important in our lives as believers. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit helps us to build. And Father, may we all grow on to spiritual maturity in our walk with you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.